This is the Jack Del Rio Show.
Jack Del Rio Show.
On the Jacksonville Jaguars Radio Network. The Jack Del Rio Show is sponsored in part by Cary Limousine, Community First Credit Union, Ticket Exchange, Wachovia, Sonny's Barbecue, and by Everbank. Now, to get things started, here's the voice of the Jaguars, Brian Sexton.
Good evening and welcome to the Jack Del Rio Show here across the Jaguars Radio Network. Hope everyone enjoyed a very Merry Christmas and looking forward to a Happy New Year. You can join us this evening. Our phone number, as it has been here for many, many years, is 800-355-NFL1 or simply 355-NFL1 if you're calling, listening to our flagship station, News Talk Radio, WOKV in Jacksonville. A couple of other ways that you can take part as well. The best way is by simply Twitter. Tweet, you know, at Jags Voice. Get your question to me, and I will pass it along to the head coach once he arrives. Not quite here yet for the program this evening. Obviously, a lot to talk about. The disappointing outcome on Sunday. Overtime interception by David Garrard set up the game-winning field goal. And now the Jaguars head to Houston to take on a wounded Houston team to try to end their season 9-7. And I'll go on record right here, folks, and I'm sure everyone would agree. There is a huge divide between 9-7 and 8-8. I know it's only one game, but the difference between finishing 8-8 and 9-7 is gigantic. And you may remember a year ago, both the owner and the coach made the comment that the average was not acceptable any longer. It was time to surge forward. And in many ways, the franchise did this year. The football team did. A winning record is a big, big part of that. You can really move forward with some momentum into the offseason with a win over the Houston Texans. And the Jaguars go in there. I don't know the status of Maurice Jones-Drew. There are some players that we'll talk to the coach about and see where they're at on this one. Obviously, if you follow the Texans at all, you know that Mario Williams, their star pass rusher, is on injured reserve, as is D'Amico Ryans, who was maybe their best all-around player on defense. Both of those guys are gone, and last week Andre Johnson didn't play, and he's been going all year now. Since week two against Washington, he has been struggling with a high ankle sprain, and he kept playing and playing and playing. Word out of Houston is that it's now become an Achilles issue, and last week he could not play. And for a team that's 5-10, I'm not sure that it makes a lot of sense for him to go. But we'll wait and see. So you're going to have two teams, one fighting for a winning record, one fighting for that respect. You know, no one expected that the Jaguars were going to be in a position late in the year to challenge for the AFC South title. If you go back to any of the preseason magazines, it was unanimous. Jaguars would finish in fourth place. And it was also unanimous that this Texans team would be the contender for the Indianapolis Colts perennial crown. So now you've got one team that's coach is on its way out in all likelihood in Gary Kubiak, fighting for their coach, fighting to get something positive that they can build on. And now you got another team here fighting for, in many respects, the same thing, you know, because all of a sudden now you've got a football team that has lost two in a row and could, if they don't win on Sunday in Houston, finish the season with three consecutive losses. You all know they had four consecutive losses last year. This coach does not want to be pinned with that label. This team does not believe that that's the way that its season has gone. So there's a lot of drama to this. And then add into it the fact that the networks have flexed this game and the Colts game. Both these games now go back to a 4:15 kickoff, which means that for the last real division races out there, the AFC South and the NFC West, they're trying to grab that drama. So you're going to have two games going on in the late slots on Sunday, and then the Sunday evening game is the Seahawks and the Rams for the NFC West title. So it should be interesting to see how this one rolls out. Head coach joins me now as we get set to talk about the Houston Texans. Take your calls, questions, and comments again at 800-355-NFL1, calling up the old Twitter page here in case you have want of that. But we bring in the coach. How are you tonight, coach?
Good evening.
Getting ready for the Texans. I see you looking at your clippings there. A lot going on over in Houston these days.
Yeah, just trying to get caught up. I always take a peek. Sometimes,
well, you never know what nugget of information you might find sitting out
you
there.
You get players and coaches that talk. We all do, and learn a little something about your opponent.
Good. Well, we hope you talk this evening.
Thank you.
All right, let's do this. Since the coach just walked in, let's take a quick break. We'll come back and get rolling with the Jack Del Rio Show after this. You're listening on the Jaguars Radio Network.
to talk to Coach Del Rio, dial 355-NFL1 or 1-800-355-NFL1. Now, back to the show. Here's Brian Sexton.
Welcome back to the Jack Del Rio Show. Jaguars getting ready to go to Houston this week. Folks, you can test drive the new 2011 Ford Super Duty, the new 2011 Ford Mustang, or the all-new Ford Fiesta, only at your local Southern Ford dealers. You go in this week. The loss to the Redskins notwithstanding, it's because the Colts won. The situation hasn't changed at all. You need to win. You need someone to knock off the Colts.
Yeah.
You win in Houston.
Right.
Titans win in Indy, despite the fact that doesn't seem real probable. You still have the shot at the title that you're looking for.
That's right. Is this on?
Yes, it is.
Okay, I'm not hearing myself. That's what I was making
Can
sure.
Can you turn the coach's headset up just slightly there? So
there you go. Thank you. Yeah, I'm good. Thank you.
Okay.
Just wanted to make sure that I wasn't on mute over here.
No. No disrespect intended.
No, actually, last week's game, other than just not feeling it, we wanted to put on a good show for our home fans.
Right.
Really was what that was about.
And, it's been a fun year around this place.
Yeah, and just... you know, finish our last home game on a high note. That's what last week's game was about. But in terms of playoff implications, when they lose to the division opponent that they're going to play, and we win against our division opponent, who we're going to play, then we're in.
You win the South title.
Anything other than that, we're not in.
It's a crazy league, Coach.
It's a week-to-week league.
Well, and the best proof of that is 2 weeks ago, as you were heading into Indianapolis, you were a Coach of the Year candidate. Yet today, Gene Fournette, the Times Union, is writing a column about job security, and ESPN's talking about coaches on the hot seat. I want to use a quote that you've talked about. You talk about squeezing everything you can out of the football team.
Right.
Are you getting, do you sense that the support you need from Mr. Weaver, Gene Smith, is there for squeezing the orange?
Yeah, that's the only thing that matters.
Truthfully, that is true.
And but ultimately for me, you know, those things are, it makes for good theater. You know, it's. I guess you know when the Brett Favre drama is over. You know,
is it over?
You've got to have content, and so you know you're going to come up with some kind of list. Who's going to win the Super Bowl, or who the worst team is, or who the best team is, and that's just part of the content that you know we're filling the airwaves with. But in terms of what I do and what I believe in and what we're about right here, it has zero bearing.
No, no one's opinion matters. It's just content, except for as I mentioned. Mr. Weaver sitting back there in the corner office, and you've talked all year about building and building and building and building and putting the pieces in place
right.
to be able to do what you want. And then this week, you've talked about squeezing that orange. Is there something left in that orange to squeeze this week?
Absolutely.
Maurice Jones-Drew is the perfect example. You know, you're squeezing the orange without perhaps your best overall football
Well,
player
that's just part of it. I mean, that's one of the reasons I don't believe in an 18-game schedule, which I've said repeatedly. I think the 16 games is plenty, and I don't think you're going to end up with enough of your star players still playing at the end of the year if you go longer. That's one of the reasons that I feel that way. But in terms of you know our health as a team, you know we've got our share of injuries like everybody else, and we're never going to sit and make that an excuse. You know we've got a few guys banged up. Maurice is one of them. Justin Durant's one of them. Heck, David's even a question. And how much he'll be able to work this week. So those are things that we just have to work through as a football team, and we will. And our approach has always been next guy up, let's go. One thing that was very accurate, all I saw was the headline, but one thing that was very accurate in today's story in the Times Union was the headline because it said, I'm staying positive or something to that effect.
Yeah, that's exactly what it said.
That's exactly what I'm going to do. To do anything less than that would be a disservice, you know, to the players and coaches that I'm over as a head coach. So there's no way they'll get anything less than my very best.
And you go to Houston, as you said, with an opportunity out there. Now, you put all the pieces in place, whether, you know, who's running the ball, who's throwing the ball, and you have to – this is a tricky week, is it not? I mean, when you have to deal with as many guys who are questionable, that can't practice perhaps all week long, that really – it stresses you out a little bit. I mean, not personally, but
no.
Your offense.
It's just part of planning. It's just part of what we do. And – it really, it probably gets more attention on a week like this.
Okay.
But, you know, trying to determine matchup strengths and weaknesses, your opponent, yourself, how you match up schematically and personnel-wise, that is what you do. And that's why the NFL is such a tightly contested league because the matchups – are not always what they appear to be on paper. And what coaches have to do is determine the strengths and weaknesses and make sure that you're putting together a plan that gives your football team an opportunity to take advantage of the other team's weaknesses and maybe disguise some of your own.
I know you're working on the game plan now. Can you reestablish your running game with Rashad Jennings in the final week of the season?
Well, I hope so. I hope so. We need to. You know, that's going to be one of the challenges for us. And, you know, that's really one of the things that got away from us the last couple of weeks. You know, you went into Indy. And remember, the week leading up to Indy, people were saying these things about, you know, what we were going to do in Indy. And I said, let's not make assumptions. I'm not making any.
Right.
We shouldn't make any. I really believe that, you know, week in and week out, you have to go out and prove it in the NFL. And that's why I was guarding against that. It wasn't that I didn't have confidence in our guys and what we were doing because we were approaching things the right way. But, you know, it's such a fine line. And you're talking about a team that couldn't stop anybody all year. And all of a sudden, the last 2 weeks, they've been able to slow down some really impressive
the
running games.
Second and third best rushing teams in the
league.
See,
you got to give them credit. And then you cannot, like I said, make assumptions just because something has been that it will continue.
355-NFL, 1-800-355-6351. Grab a couple phone calls. We'll start with Bill, who joins us from the south side of Jacksonville. Bill, welcome to the program.
Yeah, how are you doing? I just want to encourage the coach, and, you know, it ain't over till it's over. There's always hope. But talk about coaching changes is really silly right now. But, look, you know what I wanted to mention was last week, you were ridiculed for going for it on fourth down. Somebody on the radio called you a nitwit. This past week, they're saying because you didn't go for it on fourth and two that you're punking out. Now, which is it? These people just aren't satisfied, are they?
No, Bill, I appreciate your call and your support tonight. I can just tell you that that's just the nature of it. I mean, what typically happens is, the good part is that people care. I mean, they care enough to watch and watch closely, and there's real passion. And I think when people have their feelings hurt, they don't really know how to respond, and so they'll typically lash out at whoever may be convenient. And as a head coach, you have to understand you're going to get some of that, and you're not going to be able to make everybody happy, and nor will I try. I mean, what I've got to do is make good, sound decisions based on the information I have to lead this football team and to get the most out of it. And that's what we've done all year, and that's what we're going to continue to do. I do have to tell you, Bill, I do appreciate, you know, support, you know, you calling in just like you did. There's been a tremendous amount of support in this community. I think, unfortunately, you know, sometimes the squeaky wheels, the loudest ones are, you know, the ones that are making the most noise and the most attention, and they're not necessarily representative of what the real fans feel like.
Right. And you're right. It's the attention. It's the time on the radio or ESPN or on the internet that really drives the game's attention, which makes it the most popular game.
That part's great. Yeah.
You just got to deal with it.
Yeah, there's good and bad with everything. Yeah. And believe me, we are going to continue to fight the good fight, and we know it's not over. You know, we're going down to win our fourth division game and get ourselves to 9-7. And then hope that's good enough. And, you know, last year the Jets took a 9-7 record.
Sure. All the way to the AFC
Championship. And it qualified them for a playoff spot. And then they found themselves in the AFC Championship game. So you just don't know how it's going to end. And people that try and predict and say they know, they're kidding themselves. Nobody knows how it's all going to end. I know we're giving ourselves as a football team, as an organization, every opportunity to maximize what we have. And I'm talking about strength training, nutrition, coaching, all the things we do, eating, sleeping, the guys are bought in and doing everything that we're asking them to do. And that's why I say we're squeezing. We're maximizing what we have to give because it's an unselfish football team that has been extremely committed. It's been motivated all year. It's been well prepared all year. We have functioned well in close games. Therefore, I'm excited about the way we've worked. It doesn't mean that it guarantees you 16-0. It just means that you're approaching things the right way, and that's my job as a coach.
Well, you know, you said earlier today when we were on the TV set that you were going to go about it, not just you, but the Jaguars, your team, as having fun. This last week, when the pressure might seem to be on at its greatest, you were going to alleviate that and make sure that everybody had fun.
Well, yeah, and part of having fun is playing well, winning.
Right.
But yeah.
Well, I don't mean you were going to take all the pressure away, but you were trying to not let that feed the fire.
Right. Well, that's not going to drive anybody to, like, excellence, you know.
Right.
I've never seen anybody that was motivated out of fear, that was led by fear, have that result in anything positive. So, no, we, you know, you got to have courage to fight the good fight. We will continue to do so. I'm a man of faith. I will stick to my guns and continue to do the things I believe in.
355-NFL-1. Folks, let's step aside for our next commercial timeout. And when we return, more with the head coach on Jaguars Radio.
To talk to Coach Del Rio, dial 355-NFL-1 or 1-800-355-NFL-1. Now, back to the show. Here's Brian Sexton.
Well, when you're looking for department store style at discount prices, look no further than your neighborhood Stein Mart. Six Jacksonville locations. Stein Mart, more fashion, less price. You know, but before we move on, just a thought.
Yes.
We talked about how your offense struggled against Washington, but your defense made some great plays. And I know there was the one drive in the fourth quarter, but 10 of those points were, you know, an interception return to the 18-yard line and a kickoff return and a foul that put it at the 45-yard line. Boy, your defense forced 9 punts.
You know, yeah, I actually, 13 of the points were basically gifted, you know.
Yeah, I guess
because,
you're
yeah. So,
over and overtime.
The, it was solid. I mean, it was, you know, we are making progress on that side. I think, you know, the two tackles, I mean, that's really where it starts. Yeah. I mean, you know, when Terrence Knighton and Tyson Alualu, when they're bringing it the way they're capable of, then we become very difficult to move the ball on. And, you know, that's going to be key for us this weekend. You know, Houston runs the ball. Foster is having a great year, and they're running it and throwing it, and our defensive tackles can go a long way toward getting those guys slowed down.
In that respect, it was good to see Courtney Green back on the field. Man, he had a couple of big time pops.
He's a hitter, isn't he?
Oh man, he is.
Yeah, no.
He looks, coach, like he's going to be a long term guy for you. Like he can grow into that role.
I'd love to see that be the case. I mean, he certainly put himself in consideration with the way he played and his opportunities this year. You know, he's a guy that that is physical, that is getting better in terms of mentally understanding the position, and. I mean, we missed him when he was out. I mean, you know, he was out a couple of weeks now, and we were having some issues, and our run defense all of a sudden started looking a little leaky again. And, you know, when he comes up and caps it, I mean, he comes up and caps it with, like, an intent.
Right.
You know, and I think the backs see that. I think they feel that, and I think that really impacts our defense. Really, we haven't had a guy that's hit like that. I mean, Anthony Smith a little bit, he could never stay healthy.
It's been Darius.
He could never stay healthy. Donovan Darius.
Yeah.
That was the guy that was the tone setter. When we were really good on defense, you know, we had the tackles going good inside. And we had our linebackers going downhill. But the guy that really brought it all together was Donovan Darius with some of those bone-jarring hits.
Well, the hit that he made on the running back here on the side, and I forget whether it was Ryan Terrain or who it was, but he made a hit as the running back. Yeah. Oh, whew.
And he caught Santana Moss on a little breakout.
Yeah.
And
just separated him from the ball.
Separated, yes.
And that would have been a first down. That was a big play.
Big play.
355-NFL, 1-800-355-6351. If you'd like to join us on the program this evening, so let's go and grab Brian, who joins us from Mandarin. Brian, welcome to the Jack Del Rio Show.
Hey, how y'all doing?
Good.
Hey, Brian.
I just want to thank the coach for what I've thought has been a great season, season ticket holder, and I just really enjoyed the games. The couple bad ones we had up front were good, but the middle of the season on, been a lot of exciting games, so I want to thank the coach for that.
You're welcome, and thank you. What's on your mind tonight?
The running game. It seems like, you know, the past few weeks, it kind of looked like it started a little bit in the first half against Oakland, where we had trouble running the ball, and in the last few weeks we've had trouble running it. And I'm just wondering what can we do to fix that this week against Houston?
Well, you're hitting the nail on the head, Brian. I mean, that to me is the real key for us. You know, for us to have balance, for us to do the things that we want to do as a football team, you know, we've got to be able to run it a lot more effectively than we have the last 2 weeks. And you're right, it did start a little bit in Oakland, and we kind of, you know, managed to convert first downs and stay with the run and run it a number of times and end up breaking some late. But really, we had some tough sledding early in that ball game. You're right. I really believe that's key. That's key for us to finish strong Sunday. Excuse me. We've got to find a way to get that going. You know, listen, you win games in the trenches. You do. You win games in the trenches. And, You know, the only way you don't win games in the trenches is if you have a guy like Peyton that just throws it all over the field for you. That's not what we're dealing with. We need to be able to run the football. And in order to run the ball, it doesn't matter who's carrying it, you've got to be able to move people and open some holes. And we've not done that well. You know, we're going to be challenged this week. That's going to be something that we've got to get done. And Houston's pretty good against the run. That's one of the things that they
give up 105 a game.
Yeah, that's one of their strengths is that they do slow people down in the running game. And so that's going to be a challenge for us. But we've got to do better up front blocking and opening holes.
355-NFL-1-800-355-6351. Real quick, along the injury front, did you see that the Falcons lost a rookie safety last night, Chan Schillinger, and it was the first roster transaction they've had since September the 21st?
Wow.
That's amazing, isn't it? When you start talking about the length and the violence of an NFL season, not since really week two of the season have they had to make a roster move. They haven't done it.
That's incredible.
It really is.
That bodes well, because I know that I know that in Baltimore, the year that we won it all, we didn't have many injuries.
And that's the key.
I think having your team healthy, having all your starters on the field, that is definitely a key. And
on the practice field as well, getting those reps during the week.
Oh, yeah. No, just having everybody, you know, making the season, you know, finishing the year active, playing football together, the team that you envisioned having when you break camp, it's important to have that health. So that's a heck of a deal. That's a good stat for them.
Yeah, that's
really good.
All right, folks, we take another break and return. More to come with the head coach after this. You're listening to the Jack Del Rio Show on the Jaguars Radio Network.
To talk to Coach Del Rio, dial 355-NFL-1 or 1-800-355-NFL-1. Now, back to the show. Here's Brian Sexton.
Fans, nobody helps you get ready for game day better than Gate. Snacks, food, drinks, and more. Stop by Gate today. Brian Sexton with the head coach getting ready for the Houston Texans on Sunday at Reliance Stadium. Coach, when you look at their offense, we talked a little bit about Arian Foster as a running back, averaging 4.9 per carry, 1,436 rushing yards. But when you combine his receptions, he has 64 for 594. He's got over 2,000 yards from scrimmage already,
yes,
which is amazing because a year ago, heck, before this season began, most people wouldn't have been able to tell you who Arian Foster was. Football people might have known. Although, they probably would have drafted him if they had thought that he was going to be this good.
Right. No, there are gems like this that come out of nowhere all the time in this league.
Sure.
And, you know, you get somebody that gets an opportunity, takes advantage of it, works. He was on the practice squad, you know, and played his way onto the roster. And then, you know, came out of camp as the bona fide threat for him.
Has maintained it all year long.
He is. And, you know, there have been running backs that have come out of nowhere in this system before. Remember, this is Mike Shanahan's system.
Anderson.
That's right.
There's a bunch of them.
There's a host of names that have come out of later round picks or not picked at all that have gone.
He's had 7,000 or 8,000 yard rushers in his time there.
That's right. So I'm not taking anything away from the kid. I'm just saying that he has done a great job with his opportunities, and their system has been one that has been able to take guys that were maybe lesser-known players, and if they will be that one-cut downhill runner they're looking for, then they can have a big career with them.
What works? I know leverage and tackle, we talk about it on the show all the time, but
yeah.
Who played really well to hold him to 56 yards the last time? Was it Courtney Green coming up with force? Was it the defensive tackles? 56 yards for him is, you know, one of his worst days of the season.
Well, we were fortunate, you know, to get him slowed down like that. We're going to need another fortuitous effort. I think, obviously, the tackles that we talk about all the time, I think whenever you play this team, you know, your chase mechanics, what we talk about, the edges of your defense, you know, your the guys that are responsible for windback runs and the quarterback bootlegs and some of those, the reverses and things like that, you've got to be disciplined in how you approach that. On the edge of your defense, because your perimeter will be tested. That's one of the things that this offense does. It, you know, slice action and boot action and things where, you know, they're threatening the edges of your defense. And if you're not sound there, then you can be gouged.
They're going to announce the Pro Bowlers probably in the next half hour to an hour. I forget whether it starts at 7 or 7:30. Is Vonta Leach the best fullback in the AFC? They're making a case for him over there. Is he as good as your guy, Greg Jones?
They're both very good. I think Greg has been outstanding. I think Vonta's a good football player. I think, you know, to see either one of those guys in the Pro Bowl would not be a surprise to me. I would be surprised if Andre Johnson's not in it.
Yeah.
I'd be surprised if Foster's not in it.
Yeah. Oh, Foster's got to be in there.
You know, I mean, they've got some guys. I mean, so we'll see how it goes.
Johnson did not play last week. He's been nursing that sore ankle since week two, and evidently from what you read, however accurate that may or may not be, you know, it's become a full ankle thing, and the Achilles is involved.
It's a lot like Maurice. I think it's a lot like Maurice. I think you're looking at
keep playing on it.
Two guys that have the heart of a champion that fought their way through it for their team all year. You're getting to the end of the year, and you're talking about, you know, needing to weigh the difference between playing in this game and then long-term effect and all those things. And I think it's a factor for both our guy and theirs. I think that's going to be part of this scenario.
Now, one guy who's back for them, who has always been a factor in Jaguars-Texans games, is Owen Daniels. Missed most of last season with the ACL. And then this year, the earlier game, had the hamstring issue. He's got, 33 catches on the year, 409 yards and a touchdown. Are you starting to see his emergence back in the offense? And they haven't been winning, but do you see him having a positive?
They've been scoring, and they continue to be prolific on offense. And yes, he's definitely, you know, Matt's probably second favorite target right after Andre. Although I don't know, Foster gets the ball a lot as a back out of the backfield, screens and
catches,
whatnot.
Yeah,
so I think those three guys, it's kind of like, you know, where they start. And they've got other capable guys, you know. Jacoby Jones is a good football player. Walter's a good football player. I mean, those guys, they've got Dreesen. They've got other tight ends, Casey. They've got other complementary players that do a nice job within their system.
Grab one phone call, and then we'll take a break. Let's grab Paul that joins us from the south side of Jacksonville. Paul, you're on with the head coach. Good evening.
Good evening. Thanks for taking my call. Coach, enjoy your work and your effort. And, you know, I'm sure you're doing the same things week after week, but, you know, one week the team just looks a little different than the next week. And there's a lot of subtle things going on in the field that the average fan doesn't see. And if you could just kind of comment on that a little bit, you know, what are the little things that we don't see that make big differences in the games?
Well, you know, one of the little things that, again, I don't want it to get like where it's excuse making, but I'll just give you an idea about that. You know, last week, our kickoff return phase was not as strong as it was the week prior. One of the things that impacted that is that at linebacker, where Justin Durant's been out, Russell Allen's been thrust into a larger role. And so he's had a larger role on defense, so he's had a smaller role on special teams. Well, the position that he was in the previous, you know, few weeks as a person in our front line that's going to block on kickoff return, you know, somebody else had to fill in for him. That person broke down in the game, wasn't near as good. You know, the person who was matched up on that at that spot got beat several times, and, you know, and that person ended up killing the return. So, you know, those are little factors that happen to affect the ball game. And, you know, you say, well, it's just a special teams role. You ought to be able to get that. Well,
no.
that's just how fine a line it is between, you know, being really good at something, maybe having Deji pop a return for 40 or 50 yards, or having him get stuffed inside the 20. And so that's a small thing. You know, Paul's asking about little details that go on out there. That's one of them. I think we start the ball game, you know, with want to kick off and play defense and all that. And we start the kickoff, we miss hit the ball. It's windy, it's cold. We miss hit the ball, hit a line drive, goes right down to the returner. They pop it out to the 40. We, on top of that, get a face mask, give them the ball on the 45. That's not the way you want to start. That does not give you juice, does not give you momentum. Football is an emotional game. And so you end up starting kind of on your heels. And so, you know, led to a field goal to start the ball game for them. So that gives them a little bounce, gives them a little excitement.
Sure did.
So those are the types of things that those little factors add up. And over the course of an NFL game, you're going to have many peaks and valleys, many ups and downs. For us, we have been better than ever in terms of being a football team that's had resolve, resiliency. We've had some special moments this year, especially at home. And part of that is being able to stay the course and, you know, kind of fight through some of the tough situations. And that's going to bode well for this football team going forward.
Appreciate the phone call, Paul. Let's take a break. More with the head coach of the Jaguars and you at 800-355-NFL1 when we return to the Jack Del Rio Show live from Everbank Field in Jacksonville on Jaguars Radio.
To talk to Coach Del Rio, dial 355-NFL1 or 1-800-355-NFL1. Now, back to the show. Here's Brian Sexton.
Hey, when the Jaguars win, everyone wins at Sonny's Real Pit Barbecue. You'll get a free barbecue. Well, I should say you got a free barbecue pork sandwich if you took your game day ticket stub on a Monday or Tuesday after the Jaguars won this year. So we want to thank John Ranieri and the whole group at all of the North Florida Sonny's Real Pit Barbecue restaurants for a fun season in 2010. Brian Sexton back with the head coach. You also can join us, 355-NFL1, 800-355-6351. We've got Tim in Putnam County who's been holding on. Hello, Tim. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Coach. Happy New Year, Coach Brian.
Yes, and to you too.
Hey, Tim. Happy New Year.
Hey, I just wanted to say, Coach, I know we got a bunch of fans out there, fair weather fans, but if anybody would have said it at the beginning of the year, 9-7, 8-8, and fighting for the division championship at the last game of the year, that I think we all would take that. I'm proud of the team and proud of what y'all have done. I grew up a Cleveland fan. They broke my heart many, many times.
Yeah, you've had that a little bit if you've been there in Cleveland, no question.
Exactly, and Cincinnati too back in the day. But we had a team that we all disliked. That was Pittsburgh, and they have a quarterback there that the fans hated when he in his first 3 or 4 years. And I'm not trying to say David is this, but that guy that they hated so bad went on to win 4 Super Bowls and went to the Hall of Fame. So it's a team sport, and the fans need to. The point of it all is the fans don't know. David's taking all the criticism, and it's a team sport. He didn't let them 3 guys come in and run over him. Yes, it would have been nice if he could have threw it away or whatever, but he didn't muff that punt or that kick either. So
no, you're right about that, Tim, and I appreciate your call and the support that you're offering up. And you're right, it's the ultimate team game. I mean, that's one of the things that I'm drawn to it for, you know, because of that aspect. I mean, it's the ultimate team game. It takes sacrifice. It takes selfless people. It takes commitment. And then it takes being able to weather the storm. And I think, you know, one thing I can assure you is David and myself as the head coach and the quarterback, we understand that's part of it. You know, that's part of it. And that goes with the territory of being in this role, and so we'll weather that part. But certainly, we appreciate you calling and offering up support, and hope you have a very happy New Year.
And we need to take a break. We'll be back. More to come with the head coach after this quick timeout. You're listening on the Jaguars Radio Network.
To talk to Coach Del Rio, dial 355-NFL1 or 1-800-355-NFL1. Now, back to the show. Here's Brian Sexton.
Welcome back to the Jack Del Rio Show. Brian Sexton along with the head coach talking about the Houston game coming up this week and taking your calls. Let's grab, is it True in St. Augustine. Hello, True. Welcome to the show.
Hi, how are you?
Good. Welcome to the program.
Well, first of all, it's an honor and a privilege to speak with both of you, and I hope you both have a happy new year and had a very nice Christmas.
And we wish you the same.
What I'm curious about is, I know our guys are used to the heat, and I know that when we go up north, that's a different environment for our guys entirely. But when these guys come down here that are from up north, and it being a different environment for them too, how much does it affect the guys in general? I mean, as far as the cold weather and as far as the guys from up north coming down here and having to deal with the heat the way that it is and the humidity here.
Yep, true. It is true, correct?
It is. Yeah.
All right.
It is true.
Thank you for the call. You know what? Weather, it does, I think, impact a younger player's view on the league or ability to play right away in the league. I think it takes a little adjustment, but I don't think it takes long. I think, you know, you get there, if you play in a cold weather city and you're out, you're in it a lot, I think you become accustomed to it. If you're
Minneapolis, Green Bay.
That's right. Chicago. Minnesota. I played in Minnesota. I mean, you get accustomed to it a little bit, and all of a sudden, you know, it's not quite so bad. You come down here, and it's 50, and it's overcast, and everybody's bundled up, and you've got short sleeves on. You're like, hey, what's the big deal? So I think you get acclimated a little bit. I think the people that come from the West Coast or from up north, and they come down here in the heat, I think they really struggle at first. But eventually they get acclimated. And so it's a neat question to ask. It's certainly this time of year when you're seeing, you know, blizzards everywhere and extreme cold. You're seeing some of the guys that maybe that grew up in the South that haven't been in those, you know, those environments much. They're all of a sudden struggling a little bit.
By the way, I was bummed out on Sunday because I really wanted to watch a blizzard. I wanted to watch the Eagles and the Vikings play in 12 inches of snow.
How about that?
That would have been fun.
That would have been
fun. We're going to see it tonight. It's going to be chilly.
Was it really, like, I mean, who came out and said something? Was that the mayor or somebody?
Ed Rendell, the governor of the state of Pennsylvania, said, "What, we're a bunch of wussies for canceling this game."
Well, I mean,
that's what he said.
He's kind of right, isn't he?
Yeah,
did they cancel it?
I think ultimately they canceled it because of the snow and the cars and the people and the volume of people they'd have on the roads at that hour of the evening. They needed to be clearing the roads.
Was that a request made by the city or something? I never looked into that.
The mayor was consulted on it, was it not?
The mayor proclaimed a snow emergency.
Right.
Now, he didn't cancel the game, but when he declared that snow emergency, the league came in and said, okay, we're not going to play.
They're talking about how much difficulty
there
was.
It was more a league decision than anything
else.
I talked to my sister.
I wonder if the league was concerned about liability.
I don't know. I mean, you have liability in a rainstorm, don't you?
I mean, it must have been something
they
about
still play.
There had to have been something. Why else would you switch? I mean, it would have been good for TV.
Oh, NBC had to be sick. The game's on tonight, by the way. But
I talked to my sister about 7:30, which would have been, 45 minutes before the game would have started?
Yeah.
She said it was already 6 inches of snow on the ground, and before the night ended, they expected at least another foot. And she lives lived near South Philly. So I don't know. Is that bad that you would want to cancel an outdoor game if you get a foot and a half of snow?
Not me. I'm sitting on my couch at home watching TV.
Me too.
be fine
that
with me.
That was going to be a big one. It was going to be a big one. So let's take a quick break. We'll come back, wrap up this edition of the Jack Del Rio Show right after this on Jaguars Radio. Well, we're back to wrap things up. Big game in Houston, 4:15. Will it be tough not to look at the scoreboard during that game?
Only if they don't show it. I mean, if they
show you guys with cell phones on the sideline.
Come on, how could you not?
No, I mean, that's it.
No tweeting.
No, I hope no tweet. You can't tweet during the game, but you'll have somebody that'll be telling you the score of that game. It adds for some drama. And a division game to finish the season.
I tell you, for me, honestly, I can say this with all honesty.
Yeah.
What I want is to finish the right way. This is a group of men came in extremely committed. I mean, I'm talking about back in April and worked all year the right way. And here we have an opportunity to close out the right way, playing together, playing our best football, and then we sit back and
see how it goes.
See how it goes.
Best of luck on Sunday at Reliance
Stadium.
Thank
you, Brian.
That's the head coach, Joe. Thank you. Folks, Happy New Year.
This has been the Jack Del Rio Show. Join us again next Tuesday night at 6 for your chance to talk to the head coach. The Jack Del Rio Show is a presentation of the Jacksonville Jaguars Radio Network.